Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us. Thank you for joining us on the program. Dana Oliver is a self-made success story of sorts. He came from a family with humble beginnings, no monies for college. He worked full-time, sent himself through college, paying his way, course by course. He began his career as a draftsman, working his way up to senior director of research and development for Medtronic, the world's largest medical technology company, with revenues of $17 billion. Along his career, he has 30 patent applications, 15 granted patents to date, and he's the author of the excellent new book, Mantra Leadership, Don't Become the Emperor with No Clothes. Dana Oliver, our guest on This Week in America. Dana, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Rick, first, thank you very much. I'm very humbled to be here, and thank you for just having me on the show. And it's a true honor to meet you. It really is.
Well, thank you. And same here. It is great to have you on the program. There's so much wisdom in the book, Mantra Leadership, Don't Become the Emperor with No Clothes. And let's talk about the genesis for this whole book. This basically was, what, 30 years of blood, sweat, and tears, and more importantly, observation, right, on your part. You basically learned from everybody you worked for and worked with.
And that's a great segue, Rick. I mean, and that's really the essence of the book, right? I mean, through my career, you know, I kept going to school and learning and going from company to company, and I watched a lot of different leadership styles, and I worked in a lot of different companies, and I observed, you know, what was effective leadership and what were poor behaviors. And, you know, as I advanced through my career, you know, I, obviously going into higher education and managing more and more people, I wanted to try to do better and do better for people. It's all about people at the end of the day. And, you know, observing people is a very powerful tool. And I was able to do that, look at what was a favorable behavior, how people viewed that, and then looked at unfavorable behaviors and tried to discard that from my own management style.
You know, that's interesting. And you talk about that in the beginning of the book, Mantra Leadership, that you learn from the people that had good techniques, you learn from people that displayed poor techniques, and you said you probably even learned more from the poor technique people than the good, because you learned what not to do. So often we look at that and we discard it, but that actually is a learning experience, isn't it? If we understand that is poor and why it is, we can learn from that.
I think it's an excellent point, Rick. It's an important point in the book, an important point for me is that it's funny, when you have a bad experience, it often becomes very indelible in your mind. It's hard to lose that bad experience. But yet, people take for granted the good things. And so it goes back to, if you have a good boss, you oftentimes don't appreciate all the really good things that they do. But boy, I tell you, as soon as you have a bad boss, you begin to generally appreciate all those things you used to have before. So it's all about learning and recognition, and I think you need to point that out. And that's part of the book, is I try to point that out to aspiring leaders so they begin to recognize and practice. And leadership is no different than a golf swing or being a radio host. You can't be good if you don't practice. And leadership is no different. You need to acknowledge it, identify what's good, identify where there's opportunities for improvement, and then practice those opportunities to get better at it.
The book we're talking about is Mantra Leadership, Don't Become the Emperor with No Clothes. Dana Oliver is our guest on the program. The book is available all across the country, an excellent website that Dana has. It's very simple, mantraleadership.com. Of course, you can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to Dana's website. It's interesting because leadership, some people think, okay, I think I understand this now. And you're saying you may understand it now, but maybe not 3 weeks from now. But this is constantly evolving, refining as you go through your career.
Oh, like I said, Rick, it's funny. I work with people. I mean, I'll go off to courses, and you learn an example. And I even reference this in the book where I go off to courses, and it talks about having people access to you. And so the whole course would be about, you know, if people come to you, if you close your door too much, they can't even get to you because your door is closed. They respect your positional authority. But the reality is, as a leader, you have people that work for you that need to access you. And what's funny is your time is less important than their time. But, you know, so people, I've gone to courses, people learn this, they come back to work, and what's the first thing they do? They close their door.
That's one of the chapters in the book, as you mentioned, open door listening, that, and I can think of so many people that have gone through this. They go away for training. They learn how to come back and interact and get more out of the people they're working with, the working under them. And they come back and they revert to what it was, what they were doing before. And you say the key to that, if you're going to get trained, learn something and implement it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny too. I think probably for me, obviously having working for a variety of different companies was powerful, but probably my biggest and most important learning tool was reading. I read a great deal of material around leadership and business and innovation. And what I would do is I'd write down and I'd adopt things that I really liked. And part of that writing is it helps you recognize and learn from different areas. You're physically writing, you're physically reading. And then after I picked up something I'd like, I'd speak it out loud so I'd hear it. And all of those three ways are different ways to become, are different remembering means to help you adopt those favorable behaviors.
In the book, Mindful Leadership, Don't Become the Emperor with No Clothes, and yes, it's based on the story, the fable that, what, almost 200 years old now, and it's based on that. And you've got, in each chapter is a mantra, and you take simple mantras, things we've heard all of our lives, and you learn in reading the book how to actually apply this to everyday leadership situations. And it's interesting, I don't want to overcomplicate this, but leadership. If you ask 10 people, you probably get 10 different definitions of what they think leadership is. And you have a very, very simple definition there. Leadership is the ability to influence. That pretty much says it all, doesn't it?
And that's what leadership is at the end of the day is, I mean, if you're going to become a leader, you're going to influence other people. Then the key is what type of emotional intelligence do you have as part of your style that makes you a credible leader? I remember reading Daniel Goleman's book, Primal Leadership, which was very influential in my career. And this was at a time when leadership was not very well defined. And Daniel did this extraordinary job of identifying emotionally key skills. And then what he identified was that a unique subset of those skills is what establishes unique leaders. And I think after I read that book, I really began to better understand in my career what I was good at and how I could apply that.
And it's not just the spoken word from the leader. You talk about other things of body language, clothing,
Right.
that type of thing really impacts what we perceive, how we perceive our managers, our leaders to be.
Yeah. Well, people are very perceptive at picking up on subtle cues. I mean, that's, you see it in the animal world all the time, right? Animals don't speak, but just their posture very clearly tells what they're thinking. And I think that's not very well recognized in our culture. I mean, I think leaders that are really in tune, and we know some exceptional, extraordinary leaders, but they get it. And I think probably the biggest and most important thing is leaders that are really great, they make you feel like you're the only person in the room. They look at you in the eyes, their body language is open and it's inviting to you. They listen, they don't speak, they're not thinking. And all of these subtle cues are what makes a fantastic leader, and that translates to business. I mean, in business, people pick up the same cues. That's why one of the chapters is I say good morning. I walk in the building and I want to make sure that people know that I'm opening and inviting to talk, even if it's bad news. You can't kill the messenger, but you need to understand so that you can prepare and make sure the business is in good working order.
Well, you talk in the book is Mantra Leadership, Don't Become the Emperor with No Clothes. Dana Oliver, our guest on the program, based on his over 30 years of experience in leading research and development teams. He's the Senior Director of Research and Development for Medtronic, the world's largest medical technology company. And you talk about a good leader has to have a keen awareness of empathy. And I'm
Yeah.
thinking about that in people that I've worked for and people that I observed, and I'm not sure that's there, but it can be as simple, like you said, as saying hello. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't take a whole lot of time because usually you're walking or doing something else when you're saying it, but it sort of opens you up to this ongoing dialogue you have with the employees.
Well, and I think part of leadership is, I mean, empathy is certainly a key ingredient, but at the end of the day, everyone talks about leadership in soft skills. And everyone has struggles with, how do you describe a soft skill? Well, a soft skill is many things. It's one, giving someone your full attention. It's looking them in the eye. It's treating them with professional courtesies. It's understanding what they're working on. And also, too, it's understanding the things that are troubling them, what's important to their career. And that's just all of those skills, that's all falls under in the basket of empathy. I mean, and if a employee is having a bad day, or maybe they have a health issue at home or something, I mean, as a good boss, I think it's good to understand what's driving their behavior, and I think when you begin to show a little bit of empathy with people, I tell you what, they will bend over and kill themselves for you to be a good employee.
One of the mantras you have is the 24-hour rule. And this is really interesting because there are so many examples of poor professional behavior, but they don't rise to the level that, okay, we're going to call you in, we're going to have HR get involved in this, we're going to have your supervisor speak with you. It's things like in a meeting, they keep looking at their cell phone or they're typing when somebody is talking, little irritants like that. And you say it's almost become accepted behavior, but why should it be? Talk about your 24-hour rule, because you are, and you refer to it as professional grooming. You're not really, you know, calling someone and reprimanding them. You're just giving them a little clue that this really isn't what we expect.
You know what's funny, Rick, is that in the corporate world today, everyone is so busy. And part of that busyness, little things that happen every day, people, leaders get so busy on what their ultimate or big goal of the day is, they oftentimes forget to do the small things which are important to their successor or to the people around them. So, example, like you said, you know, people typing on a keyboard. Oh, you know what? When I go in my boss's office, I don't walk in with my computer, but I'm always prepared. I have a pen and a paper. I make sure that, you know, I listen, I jot down some notes. If I'm in a meeting, I see people with just poor posture or being perhaps too comfortable in a meeting, I think it's my obligation to say, look, there's professional courtesies in business. And after that meeting, I'll grab them. And I won't yell at them or I won't reprimand them, but I'll just say, hey, Rick, you know what? I just want to share something with you just so that for your own professional courtesies and how people perceive you, you know, the next time maybe we walk in that meeting, maybe, why don't you bring a pad and paper with you and sit up in your chair and make sure you're paying attention. And at the end of the day, when I talk to people like this, they all come back and say, Dana, thank you. I genuinely appreciate what you've just told me, because that's what gets lost in business. And the next thing you know, the saddest part is people want to be promoted in their careers and they aspire for better. But if no one tells you what you're doing good and what you're doing wrong, how do you ever expect to improve? And that's what's being lost oftentimes in our culture today.
You know, as another part of that mantra, and our guest in the program is Dana Oliver, the book is Mantra Leadership, Don't Become the Emperor with No Clothes. The book's available at Amazon all across the country. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can link on directly to Dana's website, which is mantraleadership.com. The rule of 10, you as a leader, you as a boss, your time is valuable. We would hope that your employees, the people under you, their time is valuable as well. And you have a rule set up. You put in so much amount of time for every minute you're going to be speaking to basically your supervisor. So you go in prepared is what I'm getting at.
And you know what, Rick, that goes back to just professional respect. So what happens is a lot of leaders, they're so busy, but they lose time in their day. And part of the problem is they don't have systems. And part of the book is to help people learn new systems and techniques. And so it's very quick, and this, again, is another teaching tool to your people, is if your people come in and they take more time than, frankly, what should be allowed, you just inform them and say, look, the next time you come in to talk to me, I would like you to come prepared. I'd like you to have a pen, I'd like you to have a paper, and I'd like to have your thoughts jotted down in bullets, and that way we can cover a lot of material efficiently, and you'll be respectful of my time, then they'll be prepared.
You know, and here's something else that is another mantra, mantra number two. And again, the book is full of mantras. Each one is explained fully. Meet your commitments, but if it's not right, it doesn't go. We all get caught up, it seems, in endless meetings. In fact, you dread, I've got to sit down and go through all of this. I have to listen to everybody else go through this. You like to have continuing running conversations. Talk about that concept, because in most cases, it really eliminates the long, boring, time-consuming meeting, and it keeps you up to date on what's happening on an ongoing basis.
You know, that's something that I've adopted over time. I think when you first come into business, you think, hey, you know what, I need to have a meeting with my boss. The problem is when you have as many direct reports, and that's another chapter, is understanding how many reports that you should have. But if you walk into a meeting and the meeting is scheduled for 30 minutes, Rick, I can assure you, you'll consume every 30 minutes of that entire meeting.
Yes.
If it's an
yes.
hour, you're going to consume that whole hour. And it's because it was allotted. So what happens is, even if you have 7 reports and you want to talk to them once a week, you've just lost a day. So what I choose to do is I say, look, guys, I want you to stop by my office every day. Just swing in for 2 minutes. And what this allows us to do is we have a running conversation, so I don't have time allocated on my schedule, and that time doesn't expand into 30 minutes of time. But instead, they walk by and they'll say, hey, Dan, I got nothing new today, or everything's on track. Great, fantastic. And my day is back on, you know, so a one-minute conversation, I'm back in a good place. And if they have something they need to stop in, we talk, have a couple few minutes, and it's and I don't need to refresh myself continually with what they're talking about. Oftentimes, if you go a week or 2 weeks before you see your reports again, then you kind of start off again with, hey, can you remind me what that was all about? For me, it's just this continual conversation that happens every 24 hours.
Well, and part of that is how you schedule your time. You look at tasks, you really allocate time to perform those tasks, and then you have that contingency, which so many of us don't do. We're on a real tight schedule, and if something goes wrong, and of course it's going to go wrong, it ruins the day, our mental attitude, the whole thing is gone because we've blown our schedule.
Right. I think that's a great point, because in business, I mean, all leaders are ambitious. I mean, and that's what got them to that point. And but part of that ambitiousness is also dreadful for employees. In order for employees to be efficient, they need to be focused, and they need to have a task and get done with their task at hand. So part of being successful in a product development group is there's oftentimes surprises. You can't fully vet everything. There's always some type of unknowns. So in order to be successful, one, you need to allocate your resources to the greatest efficiency, but two, you can't over-allocate them. So what I like to do is keep 15% of their time free, and I use that for continuing innovation, as I talked about in one of the chapters. But if there's a fire drill that needs to occur, or there's some surprises and Murphy's always out there lingering around somewhere, you have this added bandwidth that you can go address those surprises and get back on tack. And it's a technique that I've used very successfully to deliver programs, with very good results.
About 2 minutes left in the program, and you mentioned that. Spend 15% of your time on innovations. One of the mantras, the book is Mantra Leadership, Don't Become the Emperor with No Clothes. Dana Oliver, our guest on the program. Over 30 years of experience in leading research and development teams. It's an excellent book. And then when you think about it, it makes sense because we really need to be looking to the future, either refining what we've got or bringing on innovative product, that type of thing. And you don't just bring somebody in on Wednesday and say, okay, tomorrow we need to have a new idea, we need to have new products. And you even talk about giving people a little doodle time in the privacy of their own mind so they can come up with ideas.
Well, it's funny. Your brain is amazingly powerful, Rick. And it's funny, your brain processes all the time. So one of the techniques I try to use is obviously, you know, being in research and development, we're working on active programs, but we have to have an exceptional pipeline. And so part of that challenge is you're always looking for what's next. And a good way to do that is, example, if you have an aging platform, you ask your guys, you have a very brief meeting and say, hey, guys, our platform's beginning to age. We need to get this maybe out in the market in a year or 2 years. We need to start thinking about what are those next generation of features. And there's systematic and rigid process ways to do that. But part of being innovative is challenging people. You know, mother is a necessity of all things new. And so what you need to do is if you start thinking about those things as you're walking down the street or you're reading a magazine, that's when people, they have that aha moment,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's you had an earlier conversation with your wife or your daughter or your friend or a challenge or somebody brought something to your attention and you go, oh, okay, I'll think about that. And that thinking is actually sub-processing that's going on in the back of your mind. So an effective way to use very smart people in research and development is to implant some of those thoughts about what's next. And they'll think about it in the most bizarre opportunities.
And do you find that it's easier to think about when you're almost sort of in a relaxed state than when you put a hard, fast deadline and suddenly the pressure's on to come up with an iPod in 24 hours?
You know, that's a great point, Rick, because what happens for me is that it's, you know, business moves so fast and there's so many, I mean, there's instant messaging, there's emails, there's phone calls, you know, you have teleconferences, people are in your office. And what you find is that you get overwhelmed. Even though you're competent and you can address all these things, it's not until you go home and you process, and then your brain over time allows all these variant thoughts to find a place. And that's part of what good memory retention is. So, you know, you go to school, you learn, you don't learn during that moment in time. But what happens is when you go home and sleep and you eat right and you sleep right, and you drink water, your brain processes and stores that information. And it's no different when you want to challenge somebody with a next generation, you know, innovative kind of a concept. They'll go home, maybe they go out in their backyard, they walk their dog, they're going to ride their bike. That's when their brain's engaged. And when, you know, all of a sudden it's like, ah, geez, they, you know, they, yeah. I don't know, they see an animal, they see a plant, they whatever be the case. But all of a sudden they'll make a connection and they'll come in the office and they'll start to doodle and we'll talk about it. And boy, that's how greatness, you know, happens.
The book is an excellent book. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Dana Oliver has been our guest on the program. Over 30 years of experience in leading research and development teams. He's the Senior Director of Research and Development for Medtronic, the world's largest medical technology company. The book is Mantra Leadership, Don't Become the Emperor with No Clothes. The book available, of course, at Amazon. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can link on directly to Dana's website and get information and order the book. And his website is very simple, mantraleadership.com. Dana, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much. I love the book, and hopefully we can do this again.
I would love that, Rick. Again, it's been a pleasure to chat with you, and I love, you know, the opportunity to be on the show, and it would be great to have another chance to get back on.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I look forward to it. Information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.